officer of this hallway, is pursuing secondary employment. Obviously, directors are, it's a part-time job. So if they're pursuing a new job, they are not to discuss employment with these three categories of vendors. The tollway vendor under a contract approved by the board, a vendor that the director knows or reasonably should know is bidding for tollway work, or a vendor under a contract that has ended within the prior year, if that director has voted on or had any substantial personal involvement in that contract. So this is sort of adapting, in my mind, the prohibitions from the Revolving Door Act into something that applies to directors while they're on the board. So if a director wishes to pursue employment with a vendor, that director must notify the chair and the executive director before engaging in substantive conversations. And then the chair and the director then evaluate the issue and sort of review the categories that we just discussed. In fact, here are the categories that the executive director and the chair would look at to see whether it's appropriate for that person to pursue employment with that company or that entity. This provides chair, executive director, can use resources within Foley to do that. The decision of those individuals would be in writing, and such writing may be released by the Foley. So again, this would be a public document. And sort of to restrain that clause, this indicates that if it's a truly a personal, if it's an issue that would be of such a personal nature, that could be withheld. So that is it. You know, here's a really good opportunity to tell me what you think, and I will incorporate those thoughts for the hopefully best for you.
I like version 26.
We're happy to hear that, for sure.
That's right, I do.
Anything else?
Other than the discussion of removing the IG from the review group, we're satisfied with this, essentially. Right, if in the next few days you have additional thoughts, please let me know, okay?
Thank you, Andrew, and the team who've worked hard on this. I know Tom has been involved, and Jim Wagner's been involved, Christy obviously involved. So thanks very much.
I would assume these same rules would apply to the executive staff.
Well, we already have rules regarding revolving door. Revolving door recusals, and you know when we can't be involved and disclosure. But we can certainly add.
Well,
to those.
My only concern is there. If someone were to approach someone who's on the executive staff about employment while they're still here. And then that would lead to a request to the governor's office to waive the revolving door. Those discussions could have occurred while the individual was employed at the tollway and may have had an ability to influence a decision. It would be no different than what you're asking the directors, which is fine, but I think we also need to be sensitive to that. I mean, because I know that there have been waivers granted in the past by the governor's office under the revolving door policy. But you always wonder what kind of discussions and how long and how detailed were those discussions before the person left the spot they were at.
Sure.
And that is a good point. The fundamental difference is that tollway employees are only essentially working at the tollway, whereas directors have multiple jobs. Secondary employment for a tollway employee must be approved in writing by the supervisor.
Okay.
That being said, there are restrictions on if you directly manage a contract, but you were not involved in the award, which would have triggered the Revolving Door Act, but you're still managing that contract. The tollway has created an internal policy where we're not permitting employees to have those employment conversations. So there are, I think, significant restrictions on that. And that is the other good point. There is now no waiver process. Like, for example, anybody with certain titles, it's an absolute ban for a year. There is no,
2 years. Or 2 years.
Well, for some it's one, for others it's two. Okay? Thank you.
Thank you. Any other ideas? Get them to Christy or Doug or Andrew. Thank you.
A couple of other items before we move on to our next presentation. At the last board meeting, I mentioned my desire to have a transition management audit done as I have come into a new role here, just making sure that I have a firm understanding of not only our financials, which of course are audited by the Auditor General's Office every year, but also management structures, the various responsibilities and job descriptions for the staff throughout the agency, our health insurance plan, all of the various elements of the agency's operations. In the course of the last month, I have sent a request to the Auditor General. The first step in the process is, as I understand it, is to first request whether the Auditor General for the state wants to take that on themselves or contract it out themselves, or whether they would advise us to bid it on our own. So I've communicated with the office. I'm expecting to hear back some kind of determination in the next week. That's under review, but hopefully we'll have some go-forward strategy one way or the other by the next board meeting so that we can get that process underway. I'm hopeful that the Auditor General will agree that it's under their purview so that we can get something moving more quickly. So, vehicle policy, which I know has been an item of some interest, certainly publicly and by the board. We are doing a full review, and I've asked our internal audit staff to do a full review of vehicle usage, prioritizing those vehicles that are permanently assigned in the pool. And I should be getting the results of that back again in the next, I think, week to week and a half. But in the interim, we have directed that all agency vehicles, even the ones that are currently only U-plated, for instance, but not marked otherwise, have the tollway logo put on the door, so it's very clear that that is a toll highway or toll authority vehicle. The cost is minimal for us to do that. As it's been explained to me, it's actually for all of the vehicles. I believe there are 60 vehicles that this would apply to. It's a total of under $100 to do all of them, so not a huge cost, and as I understand it, or as I would as I see it, a way to just make sure the public is very aware that that's a toll authority vehicle and not a personal vehicle. They see it.
It effectively kills private use of that vehicle.
It does. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When they sit in the parking lot of someone other than Jewel, where they may be checking on the transponder contract.
Right. If they're parked at a bar all day long, somebody will notice.
I would hope that in your review, and Mike had done a memo on this a couple of months ago, you would also take a look at cell phones.
We have
409 cell phones. We have 354 laptops. 212 are state police, so that's different. Mm-hmm. Some people take them home, and that has been an issue with some investigations that have occurred. And there are 1,463 transponders as of a month ago, which toll employees use free. I don't think on a personal level that is appropriate. So I would hope you would also look at those items as well.
Well, I think that as I mentioned at the last board meeting, we're going to be reviewing all of that, particularly, and I emphasize then too, the use of the transponders and generally permanently assigned vehicles. I can put those hand in hand. At one time, the tollway decided that there was a benefit to giving those either vehicles or transponders or assigning them to employees. And I just want to make sure that that can be quantified and that we better understand it. So you're right, that is going to be part of
the transponder theory. I'm told was that people to come to and from work. But I've talked to many private employers, and normally people do not get their tolls paid to go to and from work,
right,
unless it's a work assignment to and from.
Well,
so I think it's something that is not quite fair to the public.
So I
would like to see something by the next meeting, or I will have a motion.
Okay. We can certainly do that. I would say that on the issue of transponders, the other reason, as I understand it, from the historical decision on that, is that the employees driving the system are supposed to be alerting us to any issues that they're seeing on the system. So one of the questions that I've asked is how much of that is actually happening, or whether we have any record of people, and how frequently we're getting that kind of feedback from the employees who have the transponders. So. But we'll have it by the next meeting. That shouldn't be a problem.
We didn't, in our first report, get quantification of what those 1,000 whatever transponders actually cost us here to do.
Well, the problem is that I think there's no record of that, but if you assume that every day all 1,400 of them were used, even on two trips, it would be $2, it would be significant.
Well, it's foregone revenue.
Right. It's,
certainly.
It's forfeited
assuming,
revenue.
Assuming that those employees would still choose to use the tollway to come to work or if they use some other.
But they can get to this building and other buildings. Right. I understand if it's an employee who has to go to work in an Oasis or something, then they do have to go on the system. That's mm-hmm. different. But it's just foregone revenue. Yeah. There's no cash. But I mean, even on the vehicles, you know, vehicles $25,000 a year, you have 114 vehicles that are being used, it starts to add up to real money.
No, there's no doubt. So I'll make sure that we have a more detailed update on the transponder usage as well. We certainly will on the vehicles, and probably will have a refined policy by that point in time too. Now, if there aren't any further questions or comments on either of those items, I'd like to move to Stan is going to give two presentations, informational presentations, about some items that we're going to have and hoping to take some action on at the next board meeting, but to give people and the directors plenty of time to comment, ask questions, get the information they need to make informed decisions. Stan? The first is going to be the oversight management services and extension of this contract relating to our open road tolling and ETC contract that we discussed earlier.
Just inform you, my presentations are no more than 5 pages each, so hopefully we'll get there.
That's why you're wearing a blue tie.
That's right. The only one I could find this morning. This first presentation is the oversight management services. Along with the change order to the toll revenue management and maintenance program contract that occurred in May of 2009, the board of directors also requested that independent oversight management be provided. Based on this request, the CMS master contract for technical services program was utilized. SDI was the service provider under this contract and had a foundation of our operations, which addressed our immediate needs. There were three major objectives. Assist with the management of Electronic Transaction Consultants Corporation, aid in the process of system acceptance, and facilitate and propose forward-looking strategies. Along with meeting these objectives, SDI has provided long-term benefits and value to business system operations. Working with tollway staff, the management of ETCC has been enhanced through a combination of software tools, improved reporting, and formalized implementation processes. Here is a listing of some of the milestones that SDI and Business Systems have achieved to effectively manage the toll revenue management and maintenance program. Much of this work is ongoing and provides benefits to our operations. This is basically, I just want to point out that this is a building block approach that If we look at the item of research for procurement options in September 2009, and then we go to the implemented framework tracking system for key project components in October 2009, they're still working on the first initiative. I mean, they're moving ahead. This is just not, they did not work on that initiative for 1 month. So these are just initiatives that they have started and they're moving and building upon them. In looking ahead, these are some of the challenges that business systems will be facing in the near future that are related to the Trump program. Along with these challenges, operational issues will also need to be attended to in a timely manner. The continued assistance of SDI is essential in addressing these tasks and the support needed in certain operational issues. For the reasons provided, Business Systems will be requesting approval from the board to obtain the services of SDI for an additional 12-month period. We're looking at a $1.3 million contract with a 20% minority participation. Any questions?
Did you have any minority participation in the $1
million? Yes, we did. We had 20%.
And explain to me again, because it's hard for me to understand.
exactly what it means that to go through the CMS Master IBM Technical Services. What does that mean? Does that mean that SDI already has some kind of, has already been selected by SCMS or something?
Yes, there's the state strategically source selects certain contracts, including an overall IBM TSP contract, and IBM then maintains a group of subcontractors that are able to be passed under that state contract.
What's IBM? IBM is
IBM International Business Machine.
So it's a company?
Yes.
Okay.
But it's a master contract for technology assistance to the state, and they have a bunch of subcontractors that are available to be passed against that contract on an as-needed basis by the state agency.
And so how did we, how does SDI end up being the contractor with the total?
Basically, they were selected as part, they had, I selected them early in, in about October of 2008 to do a IBMV, which is an independent validation and verification report, and it was through that mechanism, through that contract, that I obtained their services.
And do you actually look at the CMS Master IBM Technical Services Agreement that has all these subcontractors that are available to provide this kind of services, and you say, okay, here's who I think fits the bill, or you and a team, or you and CMS say, who out of the authorized subcontractors get to do this?
Basically, I looked at the CMS providers there and made that decision back in October.
So it was just you who made the decision?
It was, time was, at the time I had just come on board, I was just trying to get my arms around the operations, so I did make that decision.
The statement of work is developed then with the identified partner, and then that's reviewed by CMS, and if it's justifiable, if it matches with what the needs are, the agency, then it's approved, and the contract moves forward. The subsequent engagements have been approved because of the work that SDI did initially. That gave them an economically feasible reason for continuing for additional work.
And the price is based on the master
The rates
are set under that master.
Yes.
Has the board ever called on this?
Yes, the board voted on the two previous engagements.
The dollar amount stand is what?
1.3 million.
So the board has to vote.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So next presentation, we have our transponders.
Okay, finally, this is my last presentation of the day. Yeah, so am I.
These ones that beep.
The Mark IV transponders. When customers think of iPads, they think of their transponder. Mark IV's product is one of the most tangible ways most of our customers experience the iPads program. One of the benefits of being an IPS customer is the ability to use your transponder on towing facilities that are outside of Illinois and belong to the EasyPass and our agency group. The technology and equipment provided by Mark IV are what comprise the tollway's automatic vehicle identification system that is part of our electronic tolling operation. How it works, the transponder and an antenna reader have a conversation as the vehicle passes through the toll lane. Signals are passed back and forth 10 to 20 times so that we can identify the vehicle and assign it to a lane. That conversation takes place in about a half a second in open road tolling zones at about 2 million times a day. Subtle tag types, there's when we're talking transponders, there's a flat pack interior, a roof mount used by commercial trucks, and license plate pads. And if you're interested, we do have samples here to we can show you.
This is a roof mount. This goes on the big commercial vehicles, the 18-wheelers. Well, I don't know if you've seen these. This is a license plate mount. This This is typically
a
special...
I'm reading over, you can really hear today. It's in the lab.
And not that I don't trust everybody, but these are signed to me.
So is it the same little white thing slides in here? Or?
Essentially, it is the same one. It's kind of flipped the other way.
But the code is
different. It will be programmed with the type of vehicle. This is a license plate mount. This is for special vehicles. Occasionally, we have a vehicle that has kind of a metallic windshield. And the standard transponder doesn't read that way, so we allow customers to have this one.
What's the experience been on that with, you know, you pull into the parking lot a little too close to the car in front of you?
We're on the record, but it is one of our problems. A lot of limos and taxis will assign those kind of transponders, and if the drivers are personally responsible for the tolls, they have a tendency to use it. So that's one of our issues we deal with. And everybody probably knows this standard one.
And everyone should note that the illustration has the expiration date on it, which is the result of one of the committee things we look at.
Moving on. I'm just going to give you a little brief history, just so that you can put the timeline together. In March 1996, the tollway issued an RFP for the implementation of a system-wide IPAS program. Three bids were received, and the bid that included Mark IV was approved by the board on September 26, 1996. Of course, a lawsuit filed by the legacy vendor, which delayed the implementation until 1998. Two reasons why Mark IV was chosen. First, the bid contained the lowest price. And second, their technology had been selected in April 1994 by the largest association of the U.S. tollways, the interagency group, EasyPass Program, who now is referred to as EasyPass Group. The belief was that the IAG would become the nucleus of a national interchange system and that the tollway would be compatible to that system. It appears that this may have been the impetus for the tollway to join the IAG. Our current contract with Mark IV began in August 2007, and in March 2008, the IAG issued an RFP for the next generation technology. The original plan called for a new contract to be in place by August 2010. The current projection of the new contract is second quarter 2011.
And is the IAG is really this consortium of, there's like 13 or 15?
It's basically 25 agencies in 14 states. It is the, as you referred to, yes.
Is Mark IV a company that makes just this kind of transponder?
They are one of the they are one of the vendors who make this type of transponder, the transponders. There are other vendors out there, and that is why an RFP went out within the consortium to get look for a new contract.
Okay, but the other, I guess I'm trying to figure out is it the technology in terms of this is a type of transponder, say like an iPod. That only this company makes, or are there other vendors that make that same kind of transponder, and we just think Mark IV is better than the other vendors who make the same kind of transponder?
There's other companies, and I'll defer to Mike, who's my expert here, so I think he'll give you your answer.
Mark IV's technology is proprietary, so it is. Yes. They have a patent on this particular type of device. There are other companies, principally Transport, that have a competing technology that's also proprietary. The move in the whole industry right now is towards interoperability. So there's two pieces. There's the transponder, and then there's the lane equipment, the reader and antenna ensemble. And what agencies around the country are trying to do is to have that reader technology be able to read multiple types of transponders. There's other manufacturers as well, international companies that make different technologies. And then there's, beyond this standard thing, there's other things too, like using GPS and cell phone technology. So there are many different technologies out there, but for the protocol that we use, this is the sole supplier.
Now, what about, you know, we just did this $11 million Trump contract. Is, if we were to switch vendors, would this still work?
Part of the RFP is basically that the IAG is going through right now. Present equipment has to be compatible if a new vendor or whoever they select, they have to have compatibility with the present
infrastructure
that we have.
So, like, would eventually, like now, I think somebody said we're not compatible with SunPass, which is Florida, I think. Is the goal that someday, whichever one that various toll authorities have, would be nationwide?
That is the trend in the industry. That is what Mark IV has actually just created a new reader technology that they released this week.
So we get like 15% of our income comes from people upstate.
Yes, you're correct.
12%.
So is the IAG going to choose one vendor?
Yes.
And then we're almost
determined
to have to use that vendor?
Unless we back out of the consortium.
Right. We could quit the association.
But aren't we a big enough consortium that we can create pressure to have compatibility from anybody who produces a transponder?
Well, that is part of the RFP. The IAG selects as the new vendor, they will need to be compatible with the current systems.
Well, but you're only talking I'm saying something different. Okay. Why wouldn't the IAG create a RFP which says that whoever is going to, there could be a series of different competitors, all of whose equipment is compatible with the current infrastructure. So Illinois doesn't have to choose the one that IAG is. Illinois could choose one vendor and get a better price than Indiana. Maybe this is too complicated.
No,
it's not. The IAG has multiple members, as we noted, and so it's consensus that put this RFP together. What they did require was kind of an open source technology, but they are issuing this as a single award to a single vendor. So this is what we're inherit. As Christy says, we would have to evaluate if we want to go to another technology that isn't the winning vendor.
Well, just long term, it would seem to me, as a member of IAG, we should be driving toward an anti-monopolistic system rather than a
monopoly. Creating a monopoly.
Okay, good. Well, we don't have to
start. How do we make sure they understand that?
Who's actively participates with IAG and
we, there's various committees. I am happily transferring the executive committee duties to Christy. And
well, then we don't have to talk about this
right.
Before. She'll take care of it.
So you're the point
person. I'm the point person on the executive. There's also a technical committee, and I understand Ed Bargan's participating in that. I understand not only from this meeting but from other conversations that I think we'd love to move in a direction where, you know, there are multiple opportunities for states to still have a flexibility to choose a compatible technology so we can still
operate. Yeah, I mean, we pay like $22 a pop. Maybe we could get it at $17.50 because we're larger.
And then while you're at it, why don't you make them usable on Metra and CTA and RTA?
No, there you go.
No problem.
Go ahead.
That's where we want to go.
No okay.
Problem.
Okay. Sorry, Dan.
No problem.
That'll be next week.
As you can see by this chart, with the implementation of open roll tolling, our transponders purchases increased significantly. Since inception of IPAS, we've spent over $120 million on transponder technology. We are at the end of the third year of the current base term contract. There are 2 1-year renewal options, and we will be requesting approval to exercise the first of these renewal options in the amount of $10 million. As you can see, we have purchased over 1.1 million transponders in the last 3 years, and we are projecting the purchase of approximately 700,000 in the renewal period. 64% of the transponder purchases will be used in our tag replacement program. The tag replacement is necessary due to an 8.5-year battery life expectancy,
as tags age, we need to replace them to ensure tolls aren't collected in the most cost-efficient way.
If we're not translating tags, it's a little